The Big DL makes his triumphant return to RCST. Catch David Lawrence joining Nick Schwert on Rock Chalk Sports Talk every Monday from 4 to 6, right here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
101.7. Hello, testing. Mic check. 1, 2. Is this mic hot? It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 1320 KLWN. 4 o'clock hour here. Coming up at 5. Are we on here? We got things going here. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll talk to Matt Scott of theshiver.com. Frank Sire joins us at 5:30. David Lawrence in studio with me now, rolling up on the hog. He's a bike guy now. Do you think I could pull off a motorcycle? Like, could you envision me just like rolling up on a Harley?
I don't know what is more surprising news to our listeners out there, me riding a motorcycle or Josh Jackson declaring for the draft. I mean, when you told me that, I literally about fell off my bike.
I know.
I was shocked.
And that was probably irresponsible of me to let you know that while you were behind the wheel. I should have asked.
I know.
Should have asked you to pull over to the side of the road.
Crashed.
Well, we're gonna talk Josh Jackson coming up later, but obviously we got to start with the spring game on Saturday, right? Because there is actually news coming out of there. Josh Jackson declaring for the draft was a foregone conclusion, but you were on the call with Brian Haney for the spring game. I was up in the booth with you guys. We talked on Friday about the things that you were looking out for. We talked about the things that maybe don't matter that much this time of year. But initial takeaway, what was the first thing that was popping into your head once the clock hit zero on Saturday?
You could pull off one of those smaller Harley Sportsters, about 1100s. You know, get you a little jacket, get some ink.
You know? I have to get a tattoo?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could use it. You could use some ink.
How about just like a heart that says
and
mom on it?
And a bandana. You definitely need a bandana. But the smaller Harley you could pull off.
Okay. Well, like a
absolutely.
Like a crotch rocket or something?
No. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I want to look respectable. I don't want other bike guys to think that I'm giving them a bad name.
Sportster, you could pull off a Sportster. You know, 900 cc's.
Maybe you could just get one of those little sidecars and I could just ride in that. That's probably where I'm best suited.
Oh boy, Nick. No, you're too young. If you haven't, my theory is if you don't grow up on a motorcycle, don't start. Okay.
So you're born into it.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, there's just certain tangible things that you learn and intangible as well. And, you know, I don't want to advocate anyone's health. I get it. Everyone knows that horrible, tragic story. I'm going to try not to be one myself. But I grew up on them, and it's just kind of in my blood. So I don't want my son to do it. I don't want you. You're my kind of like stepson, you know.
Thanks. You know, well, I don't know if you heard in the last segment, but the world's oldest person died this past weekend at 117. And I thought, you know, with the way that you take care of your body and you watch your health, that maybe you could challenge for that number. But not the motorcycle kind of takes you out of the equation. That's like,
if you're going to go out, I either want to go out trout fishing on a Rocky Mountain stream or riding my motorcycle in some like windy Arkansas road. Yeah, one of those ways.
I always said I want to go out. I want to take a bullet for the president. Because if you go out like that, are you kidding me? Everybody will remember me as like a hero.
Short line right now. I think you could get in line for that, and you wouldn't have to wait. It'd be the shortest world's a fun ride you've ever been on.
Let me wait 10 years. How about then? I'll take a bullet for the president in 10 years, whoever it may be.
Oh, hey, what did you learn up in the booth?
What did I learn?
B. Haney. What a cluster. I mean, I love working with B. Haney, and I love talking to all those NFL players that we had on. But, you know, to kind of put all that in, go to the sideline with Josh, it's a little bit of a cluster, but I think that's what people want to hear because sometimes the play-by-play of the spring game, and that's just it. You know, quick story about spring football. It is one of the many stories. And this summer, I even have some tape of Don Fambro. I know we have a lot of people that are big fans of him and miss him, as certainly I do. But it was 1968 spring game, and it was after the spring game, and Pepper Rogers, the head coach, he goes in the coach's office after the spring game, and everyone, I mean, they're just – they went right back to work. They thought they were horrible. You know, they barely got a first down. They thought they had a good offense. They thought they had a pretty good running back in John Riggins. They thought they had a decent quarterback in Bobby Douglas, but they didn't get anything. I mean, Douglas' numbers were horrible. Riggins had less than 50 yards, and they thought, oh, boy, this is going to be one of those tough seasons. Well, they ended up being, you know, Big Eight champs, Orange Bowl. Bottom line is their defense was way better than they thought. That you don't really know. You know, the fact that they were going against one of the best defenses and had All-Americans dotted on the defense as well as the offense. So the defense stopped the offense, but the defense was a great defense that year. So the moral of the story is you really don't know. I mean, there's a number of things to look at. Like, I thought, first of all, just impressive that, you know, David Beatty and his staff got two teams that really looked like they knew what they were doing on offense and defense. And I think that you can just take as a positive. And just the nature of the scrimmage, in that they were even teams going at one another, you know, they couldn't have done that the last 2 years. I mean, they could only get one team to really look like they knew what they were doing. So that is another positive that we know. Now, after that, you could certainly debate it. For instance, it's amazing. We had zero turnovers in the game. I mean,
how do you think Clint Bowen feels about that?
CB is into his staff. He's going nuts. I mean, he sees, what, 34 and 49? So, you know, somewhere around 80 plays and not one turnover his defense generated. But, you know, David Beatty is usually more of an offensive coach, although technically now not as much. At Meacham, the offensive coordinator, you know, they're thinking, wow, that is awesome. Clint Bowen likes the fact that the Jayhawk team was 1 of 7 on third down, and the KU team was 5 of 12. You know, so he's really feeling good on third down conversions. Of course, we led the league in that last year. He feels pretty good about that. You know, Coach Meacham, the offensive coordinator, he didn't like that number at all. He wanted that to be 50% on each side. So you could go down the line on that. The thing that jumped out at me during the game, and I noticed the paper wrote it about as well, is we look like we have a, you know, last year, you know, legit Big 12 receivers, it was a pretty short list. You know, guys that could match up with almost, you know, any other players, you know, you're going to get to two really fast and you're going to have a hard time finding three and four. And you know, to run the air raid, you know, you need 6 or 7. Well, this year it looks like we have that 6 or 7. That's great news. But, you know, we know that we're pretty thin right now at corner, and we're looking for Big 12 corners. And could the fact that we had so many receivers stick out, you know, was that a part of having a secondary that was so inexperienced? So you could go there as well. I think they're
pretty
good.
But we knew the receivers. We knew going into the game, and I think we know going into next season that that's going to be this one of the strongest, if not the very strongest position group on the team.
Why?
So, well, because there are names that we recognize. Steven Sims.
Because we got a guy that got recruited by Alabama? No. You're going to take that at face value?
That's not even the first name I mentioned. He was going to be number two.
All right. You knew we had Sims back.
Quiv Gonzalez, I know he had the drops in the special teams game, but you can't deny that there is some talent there when you get him into open space. He is an incredibly dangerous receiver. But he's got to hold on to the ball first. So that's a pretty big if.
Oh, is that important?
I think so. Wow. You know more about football than I do, so you tell me.
It's right up there with Josh Jackson going to the NBA. It is important to catch balls if you're a receiver. Derek Johnson, tell me we're not learning something here today.
News to me.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, Quiv is very fast. You know, he's got to play tough, and, you know, they're both undersized. But, yes, those were the guys that I noted coming in. Big 12 receivers, and then the list got very tough. But to your point, I love Jeremiah Booker. You know, had breakfast with him at the captain's meeting. And how about David Beatty? You talk about a guy that won the hearts of all the former old guys, okay? And I realize a lot of coaches say, who cares? You know, they're not from Kansas. Maybe they don't plan on being at Kansas very long. You know, why spend a lot of money? Why spend a lot of time? Well, David Beatty, I mean, his actions speak very loud for what he wants to do here at Kansas. He put on a weekend for former Kansas players that is so much better than anything else we have ever received that, you know, you can't even make any comparison.
We heard on the broadcast, we heard Bradley McDougald say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And that matters to those guys.
It started out that they played golf. I didn't play golf. Golf is really, really ugly.
If they would have had a tennis exhibition, you would have been there, though, right?
Or a biker's ride, you know, get on the bikes. And they paid for all the golf, you know, which is different. You know, before it was on the guys. Paid for all the golf. They got back, and they had food and beverage waiting for them in a covered tent in front of the practice. So they could watch practice, had food and drinks, all they wanted to. They had free reign. They could go. They could walk in the huddles. They could walk in the drills, wherever they wanted to do. After that, we got to go out, hear some motivational speeches by some of the players. I mean, Daryl Stuckey was tremendous. And then, you know, put on an evening where they just closed down one of the most successful restaurants. I'm not going to say their name because I don't know if they advertise
here. I don't think they do.
Okay, so heck with them.
Yeah, I agree.
But it was a successful restaurant. Closed them down from 7 to 10, and it's all food and drink provided. And then the coaches and their wives came out and socialized. I mean, you talk about first-class operation. And then the next morning, everyone that's ever been a captain at the University of Kansas met with, you know, 15 or so potential captains on the team. And, you know, we sat with the kids. Kids sat with us. And they asked us questions about, you know, what does it mean to be a captain? What do you think made you a good captain? What do you think makes a captain? What kind of things make you a great leader? And just, you could just go on and on about the ideas that David Beatty had for this weekend to make it very special. You know, not only for the former players, but I think probably some of the young kids got something out of that because there's pretty good players that were there. Everyone's kind of stood up, talked about professionally where they played, and there was a number of people that played professionally and had some very respectful numbers when they played at the University of Kansas. So that was a home run. I mean, David Beatty just did it all, and everyone felt good about that. So, you know, heading into the game, everyone felt really, really good. And then, you know, I think the game, I went and talked about the receivers a little bit. Jeremiah Booker, I got to sit with him at the captain's meeting, you know, learned a lot about him. What a class kid. You know, come to find out after talking to some people, the reason why Jeremiah Booker struggles with injuries is because they can't get him to take any time off. You know, he works out every day. And so they're having to ban him, you know, from the workout facility on certain days, just so he won't be so prone to injury. But, you know, just a playful guy, yes sir, no sir, from College Station, Texas, a great break that David, you know, before he left, knew him from a camp. But I look for him to do great things. I don't think he was one of the ones that had glaring numbers at all, but I've got full confidence that he's going to be that guy. Chase Harrell probably stole the show because he's a guy that we didn't know much about. We knew that he was, you know, had the great size, questionable speed, because anytime you have that kind of size, but he made some great catches, you know, on the sideline, one that was ruled out of bounds and, you know, he got overruled. He did catch it inbounds, had a number of things, that one that he almost came up with that was even better. Ben Johnson, you noted about Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
Tight ends are a little bit like a dinosaur, but if you got a great one, you can use him in a number of ways. You can use him in the backfield. You can use him almost like a pulling guard. And Ben Johnson's got the size, the speed, the hands, and the maturity. You know, I like having 23-year-olds, okay? Nothing against talented rookies, but football's a game that usually the team that's playing with mature 23-year-olds is going to win most of the time. Not always. And I think Ben has a chance to be that. I think he could be an all-conference type player. We don't really have other scholarship tight ends, so we won't use the tight end all the time. But certainly, I think Doug Meacham knows what he has in Ben Johnson. He really stood out at me. Steven Sims, you know, he's an extra, a next level type speed guy. Quiv, Dalen Charlotte, yes, you know, he's not only recruited by Alabama, but he's a guy that looks like he could play for Alabama, and he's playing for the University of Kansas. I know him a little bit. He's a class act. So it's great to have him back there as well. And Ryan Shadler, you know, how about this guy? His intestines had to be rerouted. They weren't hooked up right. Okay? That's the best I could say about it. But he talked about not playing ever again.
Are you talking about because of the hit that
Mike
Lee served him?
No, I'm setting this up. So that's what they had going in. And think about being – you can't relate to that because you're still young and doing Tinder and stuff like that.
What does that have to do with my intestines being rerouted?
It means you're not ready to be a parent yet.
Oh, that's okay. True. Yeah. Are you kidding me? This is going to ruin the dating scene for me. That's a drop. It's a drop, a well-placed drop.
But, yeah, Ryan Shadler, he's overcoming surgery, rehab. He's really impressed everyone this spring. And he catches three balls. And aside from that, he has hit as hard as anyone. He probably took the number one and number two harness hits. And, of course, maybe not coincidence that it was Mike Lee, the free safety, who probably pound for pound hits harder. We've had people hit as hard as Mike Lee. I don't know if we've ever had someone that went 170 that hits like Mike Lee. And this kid is just amazing. Kind of getting off. I was talking about Shadler. I'll come back to Mike Lee. But what's really impressive about Shadler, he catches three balls. But what set up the game-winning touchdown was a ball that Shadler caught almost in the same place, you know, deep in the cover two zone, right in front of Mike Lee. And this time Lee didn't get as clean a shot on him. But just to have the, you know what, to make that catch after you've just been unloaded on twice by Mike Lee, knowing Mike Lee's going to be there, that speaks probably more to me than any other play that I saw today. So very impressed with that young man. He's very, very fast. He was a speedster. Went to Wichita State, I think, for a track scholarship, and he's kind of got rerouted here. But really like that guy. Kerr, the Blur Johnson, he did a couple things. That's his nickname out of junior college. Liked what he was able to do. And then Kwame Lassiter, I believe a walk-on. You know, he is the son of a former KU great that played for the Cardinals and did some great things here and in Phoenix. And he had two nice grabs. So you do have a lot of receivers that look like they have a chance to play in an air raid offense of the Big 12 Conference. And that's what you got to have. You got to have eight of those guys. But back to Mike Lee.
Man, 170 pounds. When you say that, I mean, he's listed at, what, 175. And I don't remember the last – who's the last guy you can remember who lays the wood as hard as Mike Lee does at KU?
I remember one, and only old people will know this. And this is crazy. I remember this, but it gets me on another story. But Leroy Irvin, you know, Derek, Google him, see what he is. He played for the L.A. Rams. He weighed 155. Now, he didn't hit as hard as what Mike Lee does, but he was very good. Actually started at corner for the Rams with Nolan Cromwell, who started at safety. But the first day I arrived at Kansas, very different than today. I mean, today they keep you away from the veterans for a long time and, you know, they kind of mix you in. I arrived at 10. We were on the field at 11. We had like a five-minute physical, and we were out there running scout team on the first day that I arrived from Parsons, Kansas. And, that we were running in shells. The first day I caught one over the middle. I was a tight end back then. And Leroy came up, and, you know, he just clocked me right under the chin. You know, he's a buck 55, but it hurt. And my chin just blew up, you know. And of course, Dean Nesmith, who I love, the trainer, he said, I might as well not stitch it. It's just going to open up again. So, you know, you can still see it right here under the chin.
Yeah,
there it is. That's Leroy. Dr. Death is what they called him. So Dr. Death, I paid him back on a scrimmage a little bit later on. He disappeared off the video when we watched it. It was one of the best hits I ever had. So, yes. There was payback for that, but, you know, that's the name that comes out to me, a guy that was a little bit smaller than Mike Lee but didn't hit as hard as Mike Lee. Mike Lee, you know, running downhill if you want to kind of sound like you're trending in football the last 5 years, you would say, oh, he runs downhill, which I always wondered, like, who's running uphill? You know, I thought the field, because we don't really play when the old crowns used to be kind of big.
Yeah.
That could be running uphill and downhill. Now it looks pretty
flat.
What
does it take to, I mean, because you expect these big hitters to be 220, 230 pounds. How does a guy with that little of size provide that big of a punch?
Well, first of all, he creates so much energy with his speed and running downhill. When he closes from the free safety position to wherever that is, and it's usually something like a little pass out of the backfield, and he closes so fast. He gets places where you wouldn't think anyone could get there. And, you know, I haven't been told that he is one of our fastest five players, but in getting to the ball, he must do that faster than anyone. I don't remember seeing anyone that we've had that closes on a ball carrier or a receiver as fast as Mike Lee. And then as far as how do you do that? I mean, you use your glutes, man, your hammer, you know, your glutes and quads.
That's what those squat workouts are about, right?
Yeah. A little junk in your trunk.
That's what I need. I need more junk in my trunk. I've been skipping leg days for about 26 years.
Do you even have a booty? I mean, seriously.
I don't think so. There's not much there. There's not much junk in the trunk. So I need to maybe mix in a few more squat workouts.
Do your Tinder girls want that? I mean,
They haven't
complained.
They haven't been complaining about my lack of a booty, but maybe I'm not a big guy. Maybe it would kind of open up my playing field a little bit if I were to work on the glutes a little bit.
I mean, they have that now, right? You can have some kind of like surgery, a little cosmetic thing.
Oh, you think I should just get implants? Skip the hard work, skip the workouts, and just go right straight for butt implants?
Hey, you're from Topeka Seaman. You could do it.
What is it?
You can pull it off. From a rich school.
Yeah. I welcome the fact that I have a big butt. Oh, so apparently I'm on the record saying I do have a big butt.
Well, good. But anyway, that's how Mike Lee does it. He's got some junk in the trunk, and he has got speed, and of course, fearless. Absolutely fearless.
He's David Lawrence. I'm Nick Schwartz. We're going to talk more about the spring game. I got some questions I'm going to throw his way. We'll see what he's got for us. We also got to talk Josh Jackson making the groundbreaking, just earth-shattering decision to go to the NBA. All that and more with David Lawrence. I'm Nick Schwartz. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk.